You're about to hear the only advertising program on the BBC. It's so soothing, so easy to take, and so impossible to give back. Yes, it's something to shout about. Michael Medwin, Eleanor Summerfield, Joan Sims, Fenella Fielding, Nicholas Phipps, and Warren Mitchell take a light-hearted look at the advertising world. The firm of Apsley, Addis, Cohn, Barbican, Blythe, and Gideon Partners is always bang up to date. Right now, they're doing research on a new advertising technique which, if workable, could revolutionize the whole industry. They call it commercial television. However, in another part of the building, Michael Lightfoot has made an even more startling discovery. It's the largest piece of land between China and the North Pole, and he calls it Russia.
I say, Janet, I think I've got the hang of it. Listen. Narjusis Vistridish Vashnorova. Oh, dear, I think I've plaited my tonsils.
Darling, you must persevere. This is a memorable day for the firm.
You're so right. To think we've been chosen to advertise a product all the way from Russia. I can hardly believe it.
I can hardly believe it when we're asked to advertise anything English, let alone Russian.
Da, da. That means yes, yes.
I've learned that myself.
Oh, no. I've brought you the latest memo on this here Russian job. It says, top priority, V comp, circ to all X and their sex. Please initial Matab.
Matab? Who's he? A security bloke from Scotland Yard?
Could be. Inspector Matab. A name that spells terror in the vice dens of Tunbridge Wells. Read next week. The old man with 10 fingers.
A lot of people have 10 fingers.
Not on one hand.
Oh, it's all right. It doesn't spell Matab at all. It's Margaret Tufnell, Adrian Beals. I've just come from them and they've initialed their names in full.
What's the memo say, anyway?
Will departmental heads please note that the temporary trade name chosen for the Russian product, i.e. Big Night at the Bolshoi, is not to be considered permanent. It may even be changed, in the which case a new name will be chosen, which might be different from the present one, i.e. Big Night at the Bolshoi, signed Horatio F. Giddy, Mange Dyer, Managing Director.
Well, no wonder if V comes. If that leaked out, it could mean civil war.
What is this Big Night at the Bolshoi, anyway? Is it anything like Ladies' Night at the Ilford Social Institute?
I hardly think so. A Big Night at the Bolshoi is the name of a new product. It's a Russian scent.
You try it next time you go to the palace. The men take one sniff and then, wow.
Well, I hope it brings me better luck than their race horses. I didn't get anywhere with them. I wagered a luncheon voucher each way.
Lucky you didn't win. You'd have been paid out in pork pies.
But this scent, is it any good?
Well, it's the first perfume ever to get through the iron curtain, so presumably it's pretty strong.
You spray it on with a welding torch.
Michael, about that ballet dancer coming over to promote the Russian product. I just received a cable from Moscow. Confirming Comrade Ellen Lobakov arriving London Airport tomorrow.
What's her first name? I'd like it for the publicity boys.
Well, I suppose it stands for Nina or Natasha or Noreen or something.
Well, perhaps it's Nastasia. I saw a film about her. You see, everyone told her she was an empress, you see, but she didn't believe it. So to prove it, they asked her if she had a family resemblance, but she'd lost it in the revolution.
Maybe! Michael, we must have an immediate conference. Firstly, there's a sales campaign, and then I want to sort out how we're going to greet Lobakov at the airport.
Apparently, she understudied Ulanova in The Son of Giselle Meets Petrushka or something.
Oh, I must tell the girls in the Titan Pool, some of them are keen ballet fans. Personally, I like a play with a telephone in it, then you know where you are.
Well, you can tell them later. Right now, Adrian's waiting in the conference room, struggling with the sales slogans. I thought we could all go through them together.
Okay. Janet, stay here in case there's any calls.
Righto, Michael. Oh, leave the phrase book behind. Now that we're doing business with the Russians, I might go there for a holiday and do my best for international friendship.
Yes, darling, but I wouldn't bother to learn yet.
Well, as I see it, the first thing to decide is what we're going to call this perfume. I think we should alter the name.
I quite agree, Adrian. You can't expect the average English housewife to ask her chemist for a Big Night at the Bolshoi. I mean, we'd all be in terrible trouble.
Besides, think of the slogans. What is the thing about you he notices, loves and remembers? It's your suggestion of a Big Night at the Bolshoi.
Yeah, what is the Bolshoi anyway?
It's a place in Moscow where they dance, Mavis.
Oh, well, why don't they call it Gents Excuse Me at the Palace?
Mavis, just take note.
Yeah, we'll let you know. Anyway, I've written to the makers in Minsk.
Where?
Minsk.
I thought their factory was in Omsk.
Well, the factory's in Omsk, but their head office is in Minsk. And there's a branch office in Slutsk.
Oh, mercy, I've broken my pencil.
And I must say, they've been most cooperative. They've sent me a whole list of alternative names for their perfume, which I think you ought to see. Now, listen to this. Dear Comrade Beals, greetings, little father. And herewith, we suggest many fine Russian names translated into English. Name one. You are more desirable than a combined harvester on the bosom of our rich red soil.
Oh, what a beautiful soul.
Delightful. You'd need a label on the bottle the size of a hoarding to get all that on.
Well, the next one's shorter. It just says, darling, let us start a 5-year plan together.
Oh, I like that. Yes, it shows you're not easy come, easy go type. Perhaps we could market it in a giant bottle, guaranteed to last 5 years.
Then there's one that says, let us dance a go-pack while mother is at the foundry. And the last one goes, don't worry, comrade. The state family aid takes care of all children over 30.
30 seems rather old for a child. I suppose it's a result of all those 5-year plans.
Yes, you have to do 6 before you're 21.
Oh, poor little mite. At that rate, my gran would still be a teenager.
Thank you, Mavis. Now let's get back to this new name. It must be Russian, preferably with a hint of romance.
I see. What about Volga Knight?
Whatever next. I'll thank you to remember, Miss Lightfoot, there are ladies present of the opposite sex.
Right, Mavis. Besides, don't forget we've got a Russian ballerina coming over to promote the product. I know. Why don't we call it Swan Lake?
Yeah, and put a few tadpoles in the bottle for realism.
Charming. If your wife's an ugly duckling, give her a bottle of Swan Lake. Note, it is dangerous to wear it during the shooting season.
Well, maybe not, but it ought to be something to do with the Russian ballet.
What about Red Feet?
Oh, really, Mavis, they're trying to think of something that's glamorous, exotic, desirable. Who on earth is going to want red feet?
Well, I expect a lot of people have got them, whether they want them or not. I mean, for instance, all them ballerinas at the Bolshoi in Omsk rushing about on tiptoe, pretending they're birds, having transmigrations and families of over 30, it's enough to give anyone red feet.
Well, that's their worry, not ours. We really haven't got time for a discussion on foot troubles in the Soviet Union. They must learn to stand on their own feet.
Maggie, how about a night on the Bear Mountain?
Oh, Michael, this is so sudden. Have you any particular mountain in mind?
Oh, it's a name for the perfume. You must admit it sounds romantic.
Not to me, it doesn't. It reminds me of the time Hilda and I went for a camping holiday in the Lake District. One night the tent blew away and I spent 3 hours searching for her with a cigarette lighter.
Had she blown away with the tent?
No, she was sitting in the car eating an apple. I told her she might have sounded the horn, but she said she was too terrified to move as there was a gang of masked men rushing about with torches, shouting.
Well, a friend of mine went to the Lake District once. She didn't like it. She said there was nothing there but hills and water.
Mavis, look, I couldn't be more sympathetic, but can we please find a name for this product?
Quite. I mean, Lobakov is arriving tomorrow. There's the reception to organize and the details of her interview on TV. We don't mention the name of the product, of course, but as it looks as though there isn't going to have one anyway, it doesn't much matter. Now, come on, everybody, think.
Russian roulette. No, it's too dangerous.
Evening in Vladivostok. No, too geographical.
Look, it should be something to do with the ballet, or at least the theater.
How about Nyet, Nyet, Nanet?
Here, I know you'll think I'm stupid.
Well, we'll allow for that. What is it?
Well, as this lady comrade's a ballet dancer, and you want something to do with the Bolshoi, why don't you call it Bolshoi Lady?
Mavis!
Oh, well, I'm sorry I mentioned it, I'm sure. I was only trying to assist. Far be it from me, Mavis Willis, the title scene.
But that's a brilliant idea. How did you think of it?
Oh, I don't know. I just closed my eyes, thought about my feet, and it happened.
I'll try it again, Mavis.
Dear Comrade N. Lobakov, on behalf of...
Leave out the N, Mavis.
What, the one in Lobakov?
No, the one before it.
Dear Comrade Lobakov, on behalf of the girls in the typing pool, I have great pleasure...
No, Mavis, great pleasure, not grey pleasure. Bring out the tea.
Tea? Mm. Well, I thought I was supposed to give a bouquet of flowers.
So get on with the speech.
I have great pleasure in presenting you with this bouquet, which, lovely as it is, can never be as pretty as you. A token of friendship from...
Come on, who's the bouquet from?
The Cup Prize Florist, Regent Street.
Your admirers?
Your admirers who welcome you from the USR and wish that your stay was longer.
Mavis, you've left out an S.
Who wish that your stays were longer.
Mavis, this is supposed to be a speech of welcome, not a laundry list.
Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Tuffnell, but I'm not used to speaking in public with people present.
Well, how's the speech of welcome going?
Well, the best we can hope for is that Comrade Lobakov doesn't understand English, because she isn't going to get it. Mavis, stop jumping up and down.
I'm not jumping. I'm practicing dropping a curtsy.
Well, just skip the curtsy.
You can't skip and drop something at the same time. I've only got one pair of feet.
Well, I still think it's very odd that the directors chose Mavis to make the speech. I mean, why didn't they pick me?
Well, they were quite adamant that it shouldn't be an executive, but one of the workers.
Yes, and don't think the implications of that remark didn't hurt. The whole thing's absurd.
I say, Chops, I think it's time we were leaving. Where's Janet?
I think she's still in the ladies' restroom.
Look, shall we phone London Airport for the latest information?
I've already phoned them, Michael. Our comrade ballerina's plane left on schedule at 1 o'clock.
Did it? But it's only 11 now. It must be early.
1 o'clock Russian time, maybe. They're always hours ahead of us.
Isn't it marvellous? No matter what it is, they beat us to it.
Hello, Tavares. How do I look, darling?
Janet, what on earth have you done to your hair? All those tight little curls.
Oh, really? Haven't you ever seen an astrakhan hat before? Don't you like it, Michael?
Well, it's all right, but it does come down a bit low.
Well, that's the way they're worn.
You can work that out on the way, Maggie. Come on, it's time we left.
Okay, whose car are we going in?
Mine, suitably decorated for the occasion with a large red flag in front.
Oh, good. That should make our visitor feel at home.
And you, darling. After all, when you started driving, every car had a red flag in front.
Passengers on flight 102 from Moscow are now disembarking through gate number 9.
There you are. I told you it was gate number 9. Why does everyone keep arguing with me?
All right, old man. There's no need to get excited.
No, isn't there? We've only stopped and presented that bouquet to two char ladies in the weighing machine. I'm fed up with snatching the thing back.
Michael, it's not our fault. We haven't a clue what Madame Lobakov looks like.
It shouldn't be so difficult. There aren't many girls coming off the plane.
But how do we know which one's the ballerina?
Well, let's all hum Swan Lake and see if she does a pas de deux with a customs man.
Well, she'd better not, or heaven knows where he put his chalk markers.
Can you see into the customs hall?
Yes.
Well, there's about 10 girls lined up in there.
But how do we know which one's our ballerina?
Look at their legs.
But all their legs look the same.
Michael, they can't. Some must be left legs and some must be right.
They are, but which ones are ballerina's legs?
Oh, I know. You can always tell ballerinas because they walk like ducks.
Yes, they're like aeroplanes. Graceful when they're flying, but not so hot with our undercarriage down.
The thing is, we can't see their legs properly from here. The customs bench is in the way.
Well, then, let's bend down. We must spot Comrade Lobakov before she comes out.
Okay. Mr. Lightfoot, how about that third pair from the end? They're ever so brawny.
Oh, yes, they must belong to a Russian ballerina.
Or a Scottish Highlander.
Here, how about that pair of legs over there? They look a bit odd.
Well, perhaps that's because they belong to two different people.
Michael, all the passengers have gone. Where's Madame Lobakov?
Well, we'd better check whether or not she was on the plane. Let's ask one of the other passengers.
There's only one passenger left. Look, that chap over there, lurking round the doorway.
Oh, you mean the one with the little pointed beard and a pipe. Shall I ask him?
I say, excuse me, haven't just arrived from Moscow.
Da.
Oh, fancy calling Miss Tuffnell Dada.
Mama, I could understand.
I wonder if you could tell me if Comrade Lobakov was on the plane.
Oh, most certainly on the plane, yes. We shared the same seat.
Oh, well, we've come to meet her. Where is she?
I am here.
But you can't be Comrade Lobakov.
But I am.
Well, I know that in Russia the sexes are equal, but this is ridiculous.
Well, perhaps I'd better explain. We thought you were a lady.
Me? A lady?
Terribly sorry, Comrade Lobakov. We just assumed you were a ballerina.
Oh, you English. You always jump to confusions.
Well, let's sort this out over luncheon, shall we? Oh, I'd like to introduce you to everybody. This is Maggie Tufnell, who'll be making the TV commercial advertising your product.
Hi, Dudu.
This is Adrian Beals from the coffee department.
Hello.
This is my secretary, Janet Harris.
Hello.
And the other young lady is a shorthand typist. Mavis, come over here.
Oh, yes. Dear Mr. Comrade Lobakov, on behalf of the girls in the typing pool, I have great pleasure in presenting you with these flowers, which, lovely though they are, can never be as pretty as you.
Thank you. And now, where is the lady in charge, the one who writes me the letter?
Which lady?
Her name is Michelle Lightfoot.
Oh, Michael Lightfoot, that's me.
And I am thinking you are a lady.
Michael, I told you to get a haircut.
Well, if we're all ready, let's go and have lunch, shall we?
Where do you take me, please?
Well, we thought you might like to visit a typical English pub, so we booked a table at the Bull.
Good. We go and find what happens when the Bull see red. You see, I speak very good English.
More coffee, Comrade Lobakov?
Call me Nikki. Everybody calls me Nikki. I like you.
Well, Nikki, there may be one or two modifications to our advertising campaign now that you've suddenly turned out to be a man.
I did not suddenly turn out to be a man. There was never any dispute. Look, how comes you make this mistake?
Well, we assumed you were a ballerina from the press cuttings we were given.
Yes, they said you danced with the Bolshoi Ballet and recently understudied Ulanova.
Understudied? Oh, no. Studied under. Wrong translation.
Oh, good Lord, the interview. Well, we'd better be pushing back the turn.
What is this interview?
Well, this Anglo-Russian trade link-up is a big topic. We've arranged a plug on the BBC. They're filming the interview at our offices. It'll be shown on TV tonight.
Interview?
Oh, don't worry. You'll know all the questions in advance, and that way you'll give all the right answers.
Oh, yes, we have the same thing in Russia. It saves time. You have the questions?
You better see them.
Question one. They ask me, what do I feel about British men? Does my husband like me to wear scent? Would I have a baby even if it meant interfering with my career? Oh, no. I can't answer these questions.
But those are the questions they're going to ask. Maggie, we've got to get them to alter the questions.
There's no time. It took them 3 weeks to clear that lot.
Well, we'd better cancel the interview.
Well, we can't. We'd be the laughing stock of the whole advertising business.
Oh, it's a pity I don't look like a glamorous ballerina.
Well, perhaps you could do your beard differently.
You? How about you?
I don't wear a beard.
No. I mean for the interview. You could take my place.
Me?
Well, who would know? You look guitar, Russian, and you are a girl?
Oh, she's all of that, but I don't think we'd ever get away with it. I mean, how will she know how to answer the questions? There's hardly time.
Look, I like you. I like all of you. I help you. On the way to London, she sits in the back of the car with me. In half an hour, she can learn plenty.
You won't do so badly yourself.
Interviewing this Russian lady in 10 minutes.
Yeah?
Nearly ready,
Miss Bainbridge.
Now,
he's got
that terrible bang.
Adrian, what have you done with Comrade Nicky?
He's in the next office with a bottle of Algerian vodka.
Well, I hope he'll stay there during the interview.
Oh, he thinks it's a great lark. He's invited us all back to his hotel after to watch it.
Now, gentlemen, we'll go ahead in 5 minutes. I shall open up with a few words on Anglo-Russian trade, then I'll interview you and your staff. Keith, I'll have my left profile for that.
Right, Miss Bainbridge.
My left profile is best.
So is mine.
And mine. The left side of my moustache is more photogenic.
Oh. We can't all have our left profiles in picture. We'd look like a buscule. Just a minute. We'll compromise. Mr. Beals, you can stand behind me.
But my wife was looking forward to seeing me on the telly.
Can't help that. My public prefer my left profile. They've come to expect it.
You should have been a violinist.
Anyone had two left profiles. Come. We've no time for quibble quabble. Now, regarding the general layout, after a few comments from selected members of your staff on working for the Russians, I shall introduce the glamorous and exotic comrade,
Lobakov. Natasha Lobakov, a miss.
Now, I shall call her madam.
And you won't be far wrong.
I say, what's she like? When you met her at the airport, what was your first impression?
Well, she's rather different from what I expected.
Do you think she was pretty?
No, not exactly pretty. She was more striking, I'd say.
Fascinating creatures, ballerinas. The Russian temperament, you know. Laughing one minute, crying the next. The mood's always changing.
Yes, this one's always changing. You never know where you are with him.
Well, I must go and have my makeup checked and my hair thing, too.
Your hair, Mr. Bainbridge? That shouldn't take long.
Plenty of powder in the place where it used to be. Otherwise, reflects the light, you see. I'll be with you in a couple of minutes.
Oh, what a carry-on. Anyone would think he's interviewing himself.
We're all set to go, Michael. Where's Mr. Bainbridge?
Pop next door to have his scalp powdered.
Janet says she'll be here in a moment. She's just putting the finishing touches to her Russian ensemble.
Well, I hope she's not going to arrive on horseback with a Cossack choir.
Tovarish, greetings, comrades, from the windswept plains of Ukraine.
Janet, you look like Rasputin. Take off that beard at once.
It isn't a beard, it's a veil. Oh. I thought it would add a hint of mystery.
It does. Where exactly is your face?
Oh, I like those earrings, Jan. Very novel design. You've got the lobes to carry them off. Where'd you get them?
Found them beside the wash basin.
Oh, fancy. Had someone left them there?
Yes, you did.
Oh, did I? Oh, so I did. Do you know, I always take off my gypsy dangles when I wash my hands. It prevents them rusting.
Mavis, why should your earrings get rusty when you wash your hands?
Because I always put them on the side of the basin first.
Well, now, are we all ready? Ah, Madame Lobakov, I see you've arrived.
Greetings, comrade, from the windswept plains of Ukraine.
Yes, well, you can tell us all that later. Keith, you all set? Yes. We'll start shooting as soon as you're ready.
All yours, Mr. Bainbridge. Start the camera.
Hello, viewers. I'm standing in the offices of one of England's leading smaller advertising firms, and they're about to start promoting a very unusual product. It's the first Russian perfume ever to be marketed in this country. A great honor for a British firm, so I might say that I'm standing here surrounded by the sweet smell of success. But let us ask the firm what they think, shall we? First, Michael Lightfoot, account executive, who is standing at my side.
Well, I feel...
The other side, Mr. Lightfoot.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I feel this is an honour which...
It is indeed an honour. And do you think it'll improve trade relations between our two countries?
Well, that is a question.
Quite so. It is indeed a question. Thank you, Mr. Lyle.
I haven't said anything yet.
Yes, but it was excellent. Now, let's turn to the firm's copywriter, Mr. Beals. Where is Mr. Beals?
I'm here. You told me to keep behind you.
Oh. Do you find, Mr. Beals, that in writing slogans for this Russian product, you have to adopt a different angle from your usual one?
No, I always stand like this. There was all that queuing up in the ref.
Precisely. The language problem must be immense.
Oh, not in our squadron, it wasn't. We had a very nice bespoken station. Mind you, of course, on pay night.
Thank you, Mr. Beals. Most illuminating. And now to the TV commercials department. Let's have a word from Miss Tufnell.
Well?
Thank you, Miss Tufnell.
I do have another word, you know.
Save it for your next interview. And lastly, a representative from the typing pool, Miss Mavis Willis.
Nicely, thanks. Me and the girls in the pool are doing all we can to bring England and Russia closer together, thereby shortening the distance between them. We feel it is the least we can do, the world being what it is today at present.
I haven't asked you a question yet.
Well, whatever it is, that's the answer.
And what do you think of Madame Lobakov?
Oh, he's a jolly good fellow, she is.
Thank you. And now, let us meet Madame Lobakov, who's come all the way from Russia to promote this new product. Welcome to England, Madame Lobakov.
Greetings, comrade, from the windswept plains of Ukraine.
Have you been to England before, Madame Lobakov?
Oh, da. Many times, my friend. I was dancing here 3 years since, in the ballet as Petrushka.
see the Bolshoi at the garden on the Friday.
But surely, Madam Lobakov, Petrushka's a male role.
No, but not the way I danced it. Actually, I took over the role at a moment's notice. Our leading male dancer, Sergei Bodkin, he went out one night to a reactionary party, and he never came back.
Must have been difficult for you to learn the steps so quickly.
Not at all. We are used to steps in Russia. They're all over the place.
I see. And tell me, Madame Lobakov, how do you feel about English men?
Deeply. They are most charming, most attractive, most delightful, and mostly married, unfortunately. But let us not be sad, Babushka.
Now, about this perfume.
Let me tell you about my unhappy childhood, little father.
But, madam...
I was born deep, deep in the Red River Valley. Before they built the dam, of course, which ruined the view.
Michael, I think you'd better stop her. She's getting power drunk.
I quite agree, but how?
We all lived in one tiny room. 27 very close relations and a goat.
Please, Madam Lobakov, we haven't time for your life story. This film has got to be shown in a couple of hours.
Times were bad.
Yes, I'm sure they were.
First it was war, then it was peace. Then it was peace, then it was war. Then it was war and peace both at the same time.
No, little red flower. Mm. I was listening outside. You have got it all wrong.
Oh, good grief, it's Nicky. This interview's turning into a Russian version of Jekyll and Hyde.
Stop the film, Mr. Lightfoot. Who is this man? He looks Russian.
No, he comes from East Finchley. You're not Russian, are you, Nicky?
Certainly, I'm Russian. What do you expect with a name like...
Sergei Bodkin! At last we meet again!
Who?
Sergei! You have decided to rejoin the party. Darling, I'm so glad. We're terribly short of men.
Mavis, see if you can get the picture a bit clearer and turn up the sound.
Righty-o.
And tell me, Madame Lobakov, how do you feel about English men?
Deeply.
Thank you, Madame Lobakov, and good night.
And that concludes our filmed report on the Russian luxury trades. Lobakov appeared by kind permission of the Bolshoi Ballet, and we thank the Moscow Film Agency for pictures of the Scent Mine in Smolensk. Here is Billy Cotton to tell us about his program tomorrow night.
Billy Cotton? He looks like Khrushchev, but with glasses.
Well, I think we can turn off now.
I liked myself very much. Jolly fine interview.
Very good.
There's a very good bar in this hotel. Shall we go downstairs and celebrate?
Oh, Jan, just think that tonight your face is seen in millions of homes.
I bet the streets were crowded.
Oh, come along. We're wasting valuable drinking time.
Ah, the telephone. Excuse me one moment. Hello? Stop. Speaking.
I think Comrade Nicky's a real sport letting us get away with this. And if I ever meet the head samovar of the Russian government, I shall tell him so.
I don't think they'd be impressed. They're interested in Sputniks, not beatniks. However fast they are.
Well, I hope none of the directors saw the interview and recognized Janet.
Well, we could always say she's got a twin sister in Moscow.
Well, that'd be difficult unless her father was a jet pilot.
Oh, my friend. I am ordered to return at once to Moscow. They have just seen the interview.
But didn't they like it?
They said it was good publicity for a gallant product, but I am to be severely reprimanded.
But you haven't done anything wrong, Nicky.
Oh, yes. You see, they say I am not allowed to change my sex without permission.
Through no fault of your own, you've just heard Something to Shout About. Michael Lightfoot was played by Michael Medwin, Maggie by Eleanor Summerfield, Janet by Fenella Fielding, Mavis by Joan Sims, and Adrian by Nicholas Phipps. Comrade Lobakov and several other unlikely characters were played by Warren Mitchell. The script of this Russian tragedy was written by Miles Rudge and Ronnie Wolfe, who live in peaceful coexistence, except when threatened with aggression by our producer, Eric Miller. That this was a non-party, non-political broadcast, specially designed for people without radio sets.